Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Highbury Squad. I say another very loosely because it's been a while. Listen, if the players are going to take a winter break, then so shall we. Joining me today is my sister from another mister, my podcast sister, Amanda, aka Princess Guna. Is it 1979? 89?
Oh, yeah, I wish.
Guna Girl 1969, also known as Princess Guna, also known as Pain in the Butt. Hello, darling.
Hello, sweetheart. It's number 45.
Halfway to 90.
I know. That's how I feel.
I'm halfway to 100.
Yeah, big landmark birthday for you, wasn't it, last year? Yeah. Huge one. Big landmark events all the way around, which we won't get into right now.
Oh. So we're back.
We are back. We don't have Kevin. Kevin's abandoned us for today.
No,
I use the word abandoned loosely. Yeah. He knows. I'm just I know he's going to listen to this, so I just want to give him some.
He's going to roll his eyes. He's watching. I think he's watching one of his sons play football tonight, which is a little bit more important than talking to us.
Definitely. But definitely joining us tonight, we have a couple guests, and we're hoping one will make it eventually. But why don't we just kick off the show and introduce one of our favorite women? And as you guys know, we love to highlight women as much as we can and have female guests on the podcast as much as we can. Amanda and I try and do that wherever possible. And joining us today, and forgive me if I pronounce your last name wrong, because I wasn't sure if there was an accent on it and I had to accentuate the E. But joining us is Anu Nande, and she is a writer who is based in Mumbai and Boston. Anu, who we adore you, welcome to the show. Finally, we made it.
Hi, Sophie and Amanda. It's really nice to be on the Highbury Squad. Thank you for having me.
Now, listen, before we get cracking, why don't you tell everyone in a nutshell a little bit about you and where they can find you before we kick off our football convo?
Of course. So on Twitter, you can find me on at Anu Nande. So that's just my name. It's A-N-U-N-A-N-D-E. So I'm a writer. As you said, I was born in Mumbai, brought up in Mumbai, currently living in Boston. But I've kind of lived all over the place, including the UK and Spain. I don't know where I'll be after this, but we shall see.
Nice. Very, very nice. And you recently wrote a very lovely article about Santi Cazorla. So at the end of the show, we should direct everyone so they can read that.
That
you have a great
good.
Style, and I really enjoyed Thank reading so that much. Too. And we're finally happy to have you on. The future, Amanda. She's the future.
Oh, she's lovely, isn't she? She's so lovely.
It's been a long time since I met Amanda, in person as well. It seems ages ago. It was probably like 2012, I think it was.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm useless with any stats on football and when I've met anyone, but I remember meeting you, and I still don't know if I say your name Anu or Anu, Annie. How do you say your name?
Anu.
Anu, cool.
Yeah, Anu, yeah.
So did I get your last name right?
Sorry?
Did I get your last name right? Did I pronounce
you
your
did. Yeah, so oh, it's Amanda, Nande.
Nande, yeah. No, see, it's a good job Amanda didn't do the intro. That's all I can say.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Oh, would have anything? No, I probably would have said Nande. I probably would have, wouldn't I? Because I'm that common Essex girl.
All right, let's get cracking, ladies. Was there something you wanted to add, Ms. Amanda, to, or is it Mrs. nowadays? I'm not quite sure.
I'm Princess Guna to you.
Princess.
I'm trying to add the other guest, so he just may come on at any moment.
Okay.
So just be prepared.
Problem. Why don't we get stuck in then? So it's been a weird one this winter break, to be honest with you. I haven't quite got my head around it. It feels awkward. It just feels like we're on a long international, you know, interfering with our Premier League football, which, by the way, this season I wouldn't mind. It's the worst season. It's the longest season in the world. I just want it to be over with, to be honest with you. But let's talk real quick about the winter break and Dubai and what the fellas have been doing out there. And in particular, Amanda, I wanted to get your take on this, is the Ozil and Laka comments in terms of them talking about being happier and the group being together much more. Seems like things are a little bit cohesive. I'm wondering if that's on the back of Unai Emery's comments and his little kind of bitchy tone about what happened during his time at Arsenal. Talk to me a little bit in a nutshell, winter break, Ozil Lacka's comments, and how you think things are going so far with all that.
I always have stated from the minute Arteta joined, when you get a new boss and you like him, you're more motivated. It really is that simple. It shouldn't be. And they should have worked harder under Emery. I do think that as well. There are times where I felt they didn't play for him. And you do play for the club, not the manager. But they're definitely playing for Arteta. They're definitely, I quite like this little break for them to be this close and this sort of away from us, yeah, and away from everything and just in Dubai and working on their, hopefully, scoring abilities and trying to win a game. It just would be nice. I'm okay, actually. I like seeing them happy. I saw them in a restaurant singing. I've seen lots of things that other people have seen, and I'm all right with it. But you know what? Let's see Sunday afternoon when we play Newcastle, because at the end of the day, that's all great. But that's not what they're there for. They're there to win games. And I'm hoping... I thought Arteta brought them together pretty much as soon as he arrived. He brought us all together, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But proof's in the pudding.
Proof's in the results, absolutely. And Anu, would you say the timing of the winter break for Arsenal was perfect timing? When you, Amanda's, you know, kind of referring to our results as well, we've been like drawing machines. Mm-hmm. Unbeaten a little bit, but yeah. What's your take on the timing of it and your take on the winter break and Ozil and Lacka's comments?
So as a fan, I think I agree with you that this winter break seemed really awkward. And it seems like it's been weeks since we've had the last Arsenal game. But as a team, I think it couldn't have come at a better time, because I strongly still like wonder why we didn't get Arteta in before the prior international break, because mm-hmm. I don't think he's at the time to work with the squad as much as he wants to, and I think this has been like a really good break for him and the team, and I hope that they've been working on their scoring in Dubai, but I think that for the team, it's been a really good break, and I hope we get to start seeing results, you know, once from this weekend on, because we've got, I think, two games a week coming up for a while now. And yeah.
Isn't it funny, guys, how we went from all saying if only our defense could be like our forward line, and over the last, what, five or six games, you could argue, be careful what you wish for, because it seems like our defensive line has shored up, and now the forward line is suffering a little bit. And just wondering what your take is on that. And Amanda, you know, something that we've continually all been in pain over. But with Arteta coming in, it's great to kind of see that he's really tried to tackle the most vulnerable of our problems first, right? So, what's your take on that?
I feel he has dealt with what we've needed. We've definitely conceded less goals. We've definitely shored up the defence. He's given them confidence. I just feel something's wrong up front. And it's a shame, because we all want to see Pepe, Lacazette, Aubameyang and Ozil playing, you know, as the front four. But something's not right. And unfortunately, Lacazette is so out of form and I feel so bad for him. But how long do we persevere with someone that's not scoring?
Well, that's a really great point. Sorry, my dogs are going crazy right now. This is what happens on the podcast every now and again, Anu. I completely agree about Lacazette. And while I discipline my dogs here, Anu, why don't you talk us through a little bit about why you think we're having some deficiencies up front right now, and what's working at the back, and who in particular is working at the back?
So I have been really impressed with how Arteta's had them organized, because we've always had a very like sloppy sort of defense. Even when Emery came in, and we didn't really see that many changes. But so I think the general organization is much better now. So we kind of we move like more like a team. And I'm very impressed with how the likes of David Luiz, for example, or even Mustafi have stepped up, you know, despite the mistakes every now and then. But up front, I'm not really sure. I think Pepe has really not settled in yet, but I do think it's a little too soon to kind of, you know, start calling him out on it, because I don't think we've quite settled into like a system up front. And it is a real, like, it is a shame, like Amanda said, because we know what, you know, the likes of Pepe, Aubameyang, Lacazette and Ozil together can accomplish. And especially now that we've got someone like Martinelli in the mix as well. And it's, I hope that that's something that we'll see a change in now that this break, mm-hmm. you know, they've had time to work on it in the break. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
It's really the Martinelli scenario, I think, also. We can get to him as well in just a little bit. But Amanda, is Mr. You-Know-Who on the line now too, or no?
I don't know. I'm trying to add him.
Okay. Well, we won't reveal who the Mr. You-Know-Who is, and we'll carry on here. Anu, I think what's happening is for us in terms of that defence, and when you think about how, you know, Bellerin's still coming back from injury. Mm-hmm. We've had the injuries to Tierney. We've had the injuries as well to Kolasinac. You know, Saka has stepped in. And I did want to talk about him for a little bit, because I actually think that in some ways, the makeshift requirements that we've had to infuse in the team on right back and left back at certain times, you know, under the Arteta's start, has also helped the centre backs in terms of confidence being more organised. I think he's definitely tried to narrow the gap between the midfield, especially in terms of when Xhaka and Torreira are playing together. It feels like that protection, that kind of grey area, no man's land, if you like, where we would always struggle for possession. I think he's worked on those components too. But you bring up a really good point about Mustafi as well. He's been absolutely vilified for a long time by fans. And
hold
Amanda,
on, one second. What? Dave, is that you?
I'm there, but I ain't got no pictures.
You don't have pictures. It's fine. God.
We'll do video another day with Mr. Welcome to the show, David Hillier. Round of applause for David.
Finally. I did it a different way, Dave. I went a different way to add you. Five times I've tried. Anyway, you're here now.
He's
welcome
here now
to the show, and say hello to... Sorry, darling?
Let's hope it's worth the wait and the trying.
Oh, you're always worth the wait.
Grade him at the end. We'll grade him. Say hello to Anu.
Hello, Anu.
A wonderful writer. Wonderful writer who's based in Mumbai and Boston. And actually, you can send David your article about Santi Cazorla too. I'm sure he'd enjoy reading it. And maybe David could help answer the question. We've been a bit of a hot mess this morning. Hey, Amanda.
Yes.
David, we're talking about Arteta so far. We're talking about the winter break, Dubai, the comments coming out of camp from Lacazette and Ozil about how much happier everybody is. Maybe that's off the back of Emery's comments and stuff like that. But what we were talking about was how, you know, for most of the season and maybe last year too, we were always wishing that our defensive line was as good as our forward line. And since Arteta's come on board, granted, we've drawn a lot of games, but the defensive line seems to have improved and the forward line is now suffering. I was wondering if you could help us, because you've been doing some commentary as well, dissect why it is we haven't been as effective going forward. Yes, we lost Oba for three games, but we've still had Martinelli. Saka's played well. Is it the argument of Ozil? What do you see that's not been working as much?
Well, I personally, in the games I've watched, and I've seen quite a few, I just feel that the defence are working hard. There's no doubt about it, and they're really trying to stay together. They're working as a group. You know, they're not getting pulled to pieces. They're covering each other well. But I think there's so much emphasis on that, and the midfielders are so defensive at the moment that there's no link-up play between the midfield and the front. And the movement for me up front has just disappeared. I mean, you can say what you like about Aubameyang scoring, you know, being top scorer last season and, you know, sharing a golden boot and, you know, the amount of goals he gets per chances. But it's the work in the game, you know, the build-up play, dynamic movement, the runs. I don't see it. And I think they're just kind of waiting for the ball to end up with a – you know, on their foot or on their head so that they can get a goal scoring opportunity. And I can't see the work going on. And I think that there's just so much emphasis on the defence. The wing backs are not attacking, you know, but Bellerin's come back in, but he's not really doing what he was doing. He's really concentrating on his defending. And it doesn't seem natural at the moment for the defenders. You know, back in our day, we knew that we'd have five people back and the other five could go and attack. But the way I see it is we've got eight people chasing back. I mean, fair play to Mesut Ozil. I've seen him, he's worked really hard in the games and we see him chasing back now. But that's not what you want to see Mesut Ozil doing. You want to see him free. You want to see him picking up the ball and exposing the opposition. And I think that comes from just not having the greatest defenders. Although they're working better, I just don't think that you can rely on them when you go forward as a team.
You know what's interesting, Dave? It's like we've become boring. I mean, he's managed... It is, isn't it? He's managed to shore David up the defence a little bit. But it hasn't... All of a sudden, our forwards have stopped scoring. You know, and, you know, I was just saying before you came on that you're looking at Lacazette, Aubameyang, Ozil and Pepe. You want to see them playing. I love it when he picks them all.
They're so static. When you
watch them, they're
still waiting for the pass to come to them. I'm not seeing them bending their runs into the channels, one going short, one going long. I'm not seeing them dropping the holes to receive the ball. I mean, they're having average touches of like 25 per game each.
But why, Dave? Why? Why is this happening?
Yeah, is it personnel or is it system?
I think it's personnel. You know, I've said, you know, Unai Emery didn't have the greatest ideas, I thought, and the way he got them across, you know, I couldn't understand him. So God help the players who worked him with every day. And I couldn't understand what he was trying to get at with all the changes. Now, what Arteta has brought, he's brought more stability in his team choice. So they're playing together more regularly. So that will naturally make you play better as a group. But I just think, we've not got the defenders we need. The confidence is low. And if I'm going to be brutally honest, some of our players are not brave enough. You know, they're getting the ball with their back to play. They're not opening themselves out. They're happy just to play it sideways and shuffle it back. And that's not the way to play football, not in this league. You've got to be brave. You've got to take chances. You know, Sheffield United took chances against us. And for me, they ripped us to pieces at times with their enthusiasm and their players wanting to go forward and wanting to do things with a ball. And I don't see our players doing it. They're like they're in a little shell and they're just concentrating on this defensive thing. Mm-hmm. And I agree, the games for me are boring.
Yeah. Yeah,
it feels like we're in that transition, doesn't it, Amanda? That kind of in between phase of becoming who we want to be, but it's going to be it's going to be hard to get there, and it's going to require some patience.
Yeah, it will. But also, I want to bring Anu in now because Anu actually wrote a piece this week about Santi Cazorla. And what would we give to have Santi Cazorla in our team right now?
Anything, because I really believe that we haven't replaced someone like him who was so good at connecting the defense and, you know, just creating the movement and just getting the attack going. And also, like, you know, helping in with the scoring as well. We miss that kind of creative player. And I think Ozil is also a bit stranded because of it.
But doesn't he strand himself sometimes? I'd like to, David, do you feel like, and as well, you bring up, you know, Santi was a magician and it's very difficult to replace a player like that, even if it feels we've bought players to try and replace him. David, do you feel like in this case, is Arteta still trying to put square pegs in round holes with Ozil? Or is it because he is being much more disciplined and defending now that we're not seeing that creativity? Like, is this where we actually should give him a break? Or is he just really who we know he is and we've got to find a way to move on from him?
I think any particular... Sorry, apologies for that. I think any player of that quality... Of your Santi Cazorla or your Mesut Ozil, the creative players, they still need the other players around them to make the run so that they can use their creativity. And if they're not doing it, if they've not got wing backs pushing on or people running in behind the opposition's fullbacks or people, you know, making angled runs between the lines, which we're just not doing, then they're still going to be lost. One player is not going to make the difference in that team. You know, you've got to have that ambition in yourself to want to play that kind of football. And at the moment, I just feel that all the players are playing a closeted game. They're just safe. They just don't want to risk anything. Because they're probably a bit lacking in confidence. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit frightened of the consequences of wrong.
I was just about to say that, Dave. I think that they're so, like, we're on edge, aren't we? We're not losing, we're not winning, we're just drawing. They don't want to lose. Yeah.
We're not drawing well. We're not drawing well where we're creating loads of chances. We're letting average, not average teams, because there's some good players in all of the sides in the Premier League now. But these up and coming sides, they've got a bit of bravery about them. They've got a bit of gung-ho, you know, they want to go for it. The effort is there in the right areas. Our effort is all concentrated on defending, whereas you need to concentrate, you need to put effort into your flair. You need that passion and pace. And I can see it in Arteta's face when the ball goes square or backwards, or when Xhaka stops it in front of him without turning out, and then he gets touched in his back and he falls over. You've got Guendouzi running around, and fair play, he works hard, but, you know, he just runs around like an idiot.
Yeah, I agree, Fulham.
He makes more mistakes than anybody. Yeah. And he tries things he can't do. You know, just support the other players in the game, you know, and do what you're in the team to do. And I see Arteta's frustration. Sometimes, you know, you need the centre-half to bang it over the opposition's wing-back to your winger, Pepe, probably, who's going to be running on. But Pepe's not there. He's coming short all the time because he wants to be safe, because Bellerin's deep, because he wants to be safe. And, you know, it's for me, it's just, I don't want to say cowards, because that's the wrong word, because I think there's influences that have gone on before what's happening now that have made the players the way they are. And, you know, if you're playing in front of 60,000 every week and they're disgruntled and they're not happy with it, it's going to get on your nerves. But they've got to put that to one side and try and make it better. But I can't see it happening unless 4-5 maybe new players come in and just invigorate that team. Some young up-and-comings or some established players, whatever, people who are confident. If you bring someone in who's not confident or who's just on the sort of cusp of maybe breaking through, you could destroy him, and he's just going to get in that team and play like the others because he wants to be safe.
But what I wanted to say is, they're too scared to lose and they're not brave enough to win. That's where we are at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And unfortunately, they're not going, you know, this goes back to, and Anu, this goes back to us still having players, and I think David hit it on the point, and we've talked about it all on our pod. I have especially said, when can we start firing players if we're firing Emery? And I think even as well as Arteta's done, we still probably just don't have the right players even some players that Wolves and Sheffield United have that David's alluding to in their squads that can play the way Arteta wants.
Yeah, I think we're being a little too cautious still, and there's like a struggle. We're trying to, you know, establish that identity, and I think we're definitely very hesitant and just kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. And let's look at the player that you guys just mentioned, because there's two news stories, I think, in the last few hours as well. We've known that a little of this is coming. And Amanda, I'll start with you. Looks like Guendouzi, the Mr. Headless Chicken, is going to get a pay rise. And one piece of news that I'm very happy to hear about is that it looks like we're going to give a new deal to Saka. Obviously, rumoured interest from Liverpool, Man United and Bayern Munich and a bunch of other teams. And I think, you know, with him and Martinelli especially, I don't think we're that boring team. I actually think they're the future, and they're the ones that should kind of have that trust, the same trust that Pep has shown in certain players at City while Arteta was with him, Amanda. I'm happy to see him showing that trust to Saka and Martinelli. What do you think about the two? Are they deserved? Saka, for me, yes. Guendouzi, you've never really been a fan.
Well, when Kev and I and you were talking back in August, and everyone was saying he's like the new Messi, not Messi, but you know what I mean? Everyone was like, so in love with Guendouzi. I was not, and I thought I was the only one, really, because I thought what Dave says, he does, he runs around so much and he gives so much. And yes, there were a few matches where he won us the second half and that. But there's a lot of work needs to be done with Guendouzi. And I've never been a massive fan, and I do feel quite bad about that, because the boy does try and give it all. He just makes shed loads of mistakes. With regards to Saka, within half an hour of watching Saka, I was one of his biggest fans. I was like, oh, this boy's got it. Like Martinelli, I was like excited. And I don't want to be too unfair on Guendouzi. He's young. He's got a lot of work to do. As long as he listens, then I want him at the club if he can progress. Saka, definitely. Saka is going to be immense. Martinelli, I mean, they are the future. The problem is, we haven't got that time at the moment. You know, we are not that far off relegation again. We're in the middle of the table, just literally hanging around, where everyone now is starting to move away from us. I'm not interested in top four. I don't even care about Europa League. I want to make our position safe, and I want to start winning some games. And if that means being brave and losing a game, then I'll go for it, because we are so cautious at the moment. It is like we're scared rabbits. So I just feel Saka, yes. Guendouzi, don't know really.
Guendouzi's one of those players that if he doesn't play for your team, he annoys the out of you. Do you know what I mean? He annoys me sometimes. And, you know, the L'Oreal boy, I don't know, there's something about him, and I don't like saying it out loud, and I've said it before, there's just something really annoying about him. And I think that he thinks he's better than he is. And maybe I'm reading that wrong, David. You've probably played with players that think they're better than they are, but do you get that vibe from him? And is his pay increase deserved?
Well, your first question, I don't think he thinks he's better than he is. I just think,
yeah, nor do I.
I just think he's just one of these generation of players that, you know, there's too many people at Arsenal that have come just to play for Arsenal and not to win things. And when you go to play for Arsenal, you're expected to have the ambition to win things and to be a winner. And there's too many people there going so that they can play for the Arsenal and pick up a paycheck. So for him to get a pay rise is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I don't know what that's going to do. All that's going to do is confirm to him that he can just carry on doing what he's doing, because that just says, oh, you're doing a good job.
He needs to earn it more, right? I mean, I feel like a lot of the times we've talked about that before when we had you on with KC, that the younger players, sometimes they just have to graft a little bit and earn it a little bit more. We've seen United reward younger players and then they've become complacent. And I just think that there's no earning factor, period. And I think that comes from fear of clubs losing players, though, too.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't understand the politics in keeping players and like boosting their money and doing this thing and keeping them in line with other players, because you're not hungry, you know. And it shouldn't ever be about the money anyway. It should never, never, never be about the money. It should be playing for the shirt, regardless of whether it's Arsenal, whether it's Wolves, whether it's Liverpool, Man City. You're playing for the shirt, and every week you go out, you want to win. That's what you want to do. You don't want to get beat. When you get knocked over, you should jump back up as quick as you can and chase that ball down, because you'll get a free kick anyway if it's a foul. But our players, Guendouzi especially, he lays on the floor. I've seen people go over and pick him up by his hand 20 seconds after he's been knocked over when there's nothing wrong with him. What are they doing? There's a game going on that you've got to win. There's a game going. If that happened in my day, well, it wouldn't have happened in my day, because no one would have stood for it. Not from the under-14s upwards. They wouldn't have stood for it. And I don't want to use the word snowflake, because I think that's just like people bound that around now, because it's just a word that they think they can use to generalise all players that dive or get pushed over. But you see these teams that are in good positions in the league and want to fight for their position. Their players just bounce back up off the floor and carry on, and then the ref will give the free kick and they'll get it. But they're 10 yards away already chasing someone. Our players are not doing that.
Yeah,
our players are just so comfortable and think that, you know, oh, yeah, I got knocked over, ref. I've seen Socrates, whatever you want to call him.
Socrates.
I've seen him go down on the edge of the opposition's box, And he's a defender. He's a defender, right? I've seen him go down, not get the foul, and still be down when the other team have won a corner. Now, what is going on?
That's well, his Greek his Greek shithousery is of the highest order. Socrates is just one of the... They are. And I don't mind the snowflake reference. And Anu, I'm sorry, it's not aimed at your generation at all here. But, you know, the whole hugging rivals before games, David, and all that stuff as well.
Bullshit.
I mean, it's just such bullshit. And too, and Anu, I don't know what you know of, and David, you can chime in next. Amanda, we've talked about how we desperately need new signings and we weren't sure about January. And, you know, we did end up signing two players Anu, and one is Pablo Mari from Flamengo and the other is Cedric from Southampton. And I have to say the Cedric signing got me a little bit excited. Why? Because we finally kind of got a player who has Premier League experience. What do you think about those two signings? I don't know much about Pablo myself, but having seen Cedric play, that's the one I think could be a bit of a difference for us going into this last half of the season.
I agree with you. I haven't really seen Pablo Mari play, so I don't really know. But I like the fact that he's a left-footed centre-back because we've got all right-footed ones right now. And I know that Arteta specifically requested one who's left-footed. So, but what I've heard from friends who've seen him play or who've kind of been following his career for a while, he should be a really good addition because he's also known to be like an accurate passer and knows how to keep possession and like move the ball around. But I agree about Suarez because he has Premier League experience. He's 28. It's a good age for a right back. And he's played in the Premier League. So he knows what it takes, obviously, also. So he might be really helpful for us when we're trying to, you know, creep back up the table. But yeah, I'm quite excited to see, especially since we've got, especially since we've had so many injuries in the defensive department and, you know, had players come and I don't think we've really sort of found our, like, you know, first choice for even under the circumstances of who we have.
Before we move on to Newcastle with Amanda, David, I just wanted your take too on, do you think I'm right about Cedric? Do you actually think that he could end up being like in the first 11 more so than the two players that, you know, he's come in to kind of help not cover, but what do you think? And I only saw Pablo play, in the World Club World Cup game against Liverpool, which he did pretty well in. He's definitely got that physique and he has that, you know, Italian, you know, kind of perfect shape defender thing about him. Talk us through real quick about what you think about those two signings and the impact they can have.
I think, obviously, you know, coming from Southampton, it was at Inter Milan before that. And so he'll have that toughness, you know, that sort of that defensive attitude. I agree with Anu that you need someone that can pass, but you've got to have a winner first in there. Defenders have to be winners. It ain't all about being the best passer or the best this or the other. It's about being a winner first. It's about driving your team. It's about keeping that back line safe, you know, and allowing people to go forward. And if he can do that, regardless of whether he's a great player, or like passing player, he'll bring something to the side. But, you know, you look up. I went to a game last night. I know it's changing the subject a little bit. I went to QPR, Swansea QPR. And all the players were lovely. They was all technical, you know, they was all great. They all could pass the ball. But none of them were winners. Not one player on the pitch was a winner. And the game was 0-0 and it was boring. And I spoke to the under-23 manager after, my mate Paul Hall. And he said to me, he said, Dave, he said, there's too many players now that they're really good technically. You know, they've been really trained up from when they're 11 and 12. They know how to, the transitions, they know how to, you know, they know how to pass. They've got all the technical ability. They work through the phases of play. But none of them had that about them to be a winner. And that's what we need in this side. We need players that are going to come there. And, you know, you talk about Liverpool and, you know, and the players they've got. And regardless of how technical they are, every one of them's a winner. Every single one of them is a winner. And that's what we're missing. And you can bring anyone into our side. And if they can be the greatest player in the world and, you know, be fantastic in technically and all of that. But if they ain't got it, that bit inside that drives them forward, then they're just going to just blend in with the rest of them. They're just going to be another player who looks great on the ball and can twist and turn, but don't win games for you.
Yeah.
Unless these two players can do that, unless they've got steel about, Tierney, I've seen him come in and I think he's got a bit about him. And he looks frustrated with some of the players in the team.
Yeah.
Because they're not playing with the heart he plays with. And the attitude, you know, that Scottish drive, that hardness that he's got. And he's only a kid. He's only a kid and he's playing in that team looking at other people thinking, you ain't got the balls, mate.
Pepe's a kid. Pepe's a kid and he doesn't have it. I'm so unimpressed with him.
And Bakary, you know, I think, yeah, he does play really well and he plays with heart and he gives everything and he's got it about him and Martinelli. But don't play him left back. Don't play him left back. He's not a left back because you're exposing his weaknesses. Mm. Play him where he's going to be effective.
I think Arteta is also, he has that drive in him. He's got that Pep-esque thing about him, the obsession. So I'm hoping that, you know, 2-3 more transfer windows, getting in the players that he knows that he can work with week in, week out at that intense level that he was used to at Manchester City, especially. And I'm hoping that, Amanda, we get to see that. Now, next up, just to move things along here a little bit, is Newcastle United. We are on the same points as Newcastle United in the Premier League, Ms. PG. They are in 12th. We are in 10th. We generally play quite well against Newcastle. The last time we lost to them was in 2018, 2-1, up at Newcastle. But prior to that, the last time they'd beaten us was actually at home in 2010. What's your take going into this game in terms of where they're at, where we're at? And really, there's only one result here, is there not?
Well, I was just thinking back to the last time we won a game. It was New Year's Day of the Premier League. I know we beat Bournemouth, but I'm talking about the Premier League. It was January the 1st against United. Since then, we've just drawn.
Wow.
That isn't great, is it? We're now, what, mid-Feb, as you say? And we've got Newcastle and we're on the same points as them and the weather looks like it's going to be atrocious on Sunday and I just can't call it. I just don't know. You know, as I was saying to Dave before, there's no bravery and they're too scared. What's going to happen when they come back from Dubai? Let's hope that he's brought them even closer together. He's given them more confidence. You know, I was trying to... when Dave was talking about Tierney, I was going to say the same thing, that boy has got it. He has got the balls. He has got the drive. There are a few in that team. I would say Saka's got it, and I'd say Martinelli's got it as well. Aubameyang did have it. I don't know what's happened there. But, you know, we can go through all the players. And as much as he's shored up the defence, I still don't like seeing David Luiz in my team sometimes. So I can't call it. I know we'll talk about predictions later, but it's a worry. It's Jan the 1st. We haven't won in the Premier League since. So who knows?
Anu, would you also agree that perhaps this season for Newcastle, Steve Bruce has done pretty good job, and I wouldn't say amazing job, but considering all the stick that he got at the beginning of the season and the fact that Newcastle find themselves on the same amount of points as Arsenal, and with all of Amanda's concerns, we are going into this game as well playing at home. So thoughts on Newcastle being maybe one of those teams that could shock us and Bruce doing better than people thought?
He's definitely done a good job. And also, if you look at how many games, they've won two more games than us this season. They've won 8. We've won only 6 this entire season. I know we've been unbeaten against Newcastle for, like, I think, like 6 or 7 games, home games that we've played them. But I think at the moment it's just very important that we don't let ourselves draw or lose. There is only one option. We need to win. And it worries me a little bit, especially because there is pressure and we've had a break. It could be a really good thing that we've had a break and they've had time to regroup and we've got the players coming back from injury. But it might be a really tricky one and I'm struggling to comprehensively call an Arsenal victory.
David, what do you think? So you just said something really alarming, Anu, and Amanda keeps saying to me, we just need to win, we just need to win. And I actually didn't realize, okay, that we've, I thought we had won 8 games. We've only won 6 games all season. Terrible. That is absolutely shocking, David. And when you think about that going into this game against Newcastle, who are going to be tread carefully, but where's the pitfalls for us in this game against this particular Steve Bruce team?
The pitfalls are going to be in our heart. If we don't play with our heart, because Newcastle will, Newcastle have a 10 minus 10 goal difference less than us, below us, yet they've won 2 more games. They're brave. They take chances. And they don't give up. We don't take chances. We nil-nil it all the time. And it's not good enough. That's where our pitfall
David,
will be.
is that him right. not trusting the players yet? Why? Because Arteta comes from that kind of Pep Wenger style of playing. Is it he doesn't trust them? I know I asked you this before in terms of, is it personnel or is it tactics?
He ain't, you know, if you play cards and you're given a shit hand, you've got to play that hand and that's all he's got. And for me, he's not got a good hand at the moment. And he looks, when I watch him on the touchline, just decisions players make, the body language of him, I just think he looks like he's saying, fuck, I need some more players. I need some different players. I need to bring some people in. Mm. But he can't do that, you know, because there's only the 2 windows. He's got to work with what he's got to work with. That's why he took him away to Dubai. That's why he's tried the bonding thing. That's why he's... And it's great that they're saying, you know, that you know, they feel more together now. You know, they feel like they've got more structure. That's great. Let's see it. Let's see it on the pitch. Because mm-hmm. talk is cheap. Anyone can say that, especially when you're getting your money boosted by, I don't know, ever how much. Like when you told me back when, I still can't stop thinking about it. You know, it's just, you know, I feel frustrated for him. And he's looking at that. I mean, I think was Pablo Mari from Man City. I think he was an under 23.
Yeah.
At Man
City. Yes.
So he obviously knows that he's got something in him, and he's seen it, and he's bringing that to Arsenal. But that's only one player at a time, one or two players at a time.
Yeah, on a loan and on a special deal because we don't have the funds supposedly.
Yeah, and you know, Steve Bruce. He's working with those players at Newcastle. He's working hard. He's grinding them down. And also the demands of Newcastle as a club demand much more than just great football. They demand passion first.
Hard work, graft, commitment
to the shirt. You know, if you're playing there, you're playing for Newcastle. You are playing for the shirt. You're not playing to win. You're playing for the shirt and the fans first. And that's what worries me, because they'll come to Arsenal and Arsenal will maybe back off, be a bit more, try and be secure, try and be safe. And if Newcastle get a sniff, they'll hunt you down. And even if you go in front, they'll still keep coming at you because of what the demands are of being a Newcastle player. And I think that's kind of got lost in the last 4, 5, 6 seasons, maybe towards the end of Arsene Wenger's tenure, and certainly through Emery's, and now Arteta's picking up the pieces of what's left. You know, he's like trying to put it back together, and it ain't a jigsaw where he's got every bit now. There's loads of bits missing. They don't all fit together, and he's got to now put his own side together. And I just hope the board, the directors, the people who are in charge of the finance allow him to do that. But then that's all well and good. Players have got to want to come there. Players have got to want to play for Arsenal. And Mikel Arteta will not want players coming there just to pick up a pay packet and put on a red shirt and say, I'll play for the Arsenal.
Absolutely.
Because that ain't what it's about. Even people that played, even like Ian Selly, he didn't play hundreds of games for Arsenal, but he played every game with heart. Every single player, you know, and Tony Adams played 600 games, and he played every game with heart. He was no different to Ian Selly. He was no different to me. He was no different to Jimmy Carter or Eddie McGoldrick or Ian Wright or David Seaman or Lee Dixon. However many games we played them games for a reason. We played them because we played for Arsenal and we
wanted
to win.
And that's what I love, David, is that the KC says that to us all the time. It was unacceptable not to have that attitude. It was unacceptable not to have that drive, that passion. And
you'd have been gone when you were 12. You'd have been out the door when you was 12 or 13. You wouldn't even, when you step up to the line and you're doing six box-to-boxes, they used to say to you, just be ready, you might have to do more. So when you'd done your six box-to-boxes, everybody was still on the line, ready to go again, expecting to work even harder. But I bet these players, once they're told, oh yeah, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and then you can go and have a massage. You know,
yeah, I know. It's soft. It's a bit soft. And you know, Highbury Squad listeners, you're listening firsthand to, you know, David Healy, who's telling you what it means to actually put on the shirt and not just collect a paycheck. And also joining us is Anu Nande, who's a young writer, and will share her details with you again at the end of the show. And you know, let's hope, Amanda, that they do come, you know, guns blazing against Newcastle. And one thing I do want to just touch on before I get your predictions, guys, is this. We've won six games. We've drawn 13. We've lost six. We're on 31 points. And Mr. Unai Emery has made a few comments from an interview he did. I think it came out in the last few days. I don't know when he did the interview, but he really went into some details in terms of why he felt it didn't work out for him at Arsenal, and some fans are really bitter about this and they've given him a hard time about this. But quite honestly, when you look at where we're at, what Arteta's dealing with and what he's trying to rebuild, is what Emery said, Amanda, so wrong?
Do you know, it's interesting because I've just read up on a few of the articles, and I just want to go back to something David said. I don't remember ever watching Arsenal through all my years of watching where players haven't had heart. Yet when I watch teams under Emery, they had no idea what they were doing. And these are some of world-class footballers. And I agree with what Leno said. Leno claimed that Emery's methods often left Gunners style confused on the pitch. They often left fans confused in the stands as well, he did. So I don't want to go too much on Emery. He's come out and said they didn't give their all. Özil and Leno and a few others have said they didn't know what they were doing. And under Arteta, they feel they tactically know what they've got to do. I think he's trying to build a team. What I would say to Dave and Anu is that when Arteta joined, he's not an idiot. He knew what he was coming into. He would have seen constant videos of us. Yeah, he even played, you know, when he was at City, he came up against us. He would have known. He must have been given assurances that he will be able to go in the transfer market and buy, because I don't know the saying, I know I'm going to get this wrong, but you can't make something out of something and make it good. I don't know what the saying is.
Lemonade? Is that where you were going?
Yeah, lemons out of lemon, whatever it is. The orange is out of lemonade or something. But my point is, I personally think Arteta's not stupid. He knows that he's probably got to play with this lot for a while and then it's going to change. That's my opinion. What Emery said, there is a little bit of truth to it, but I just don't think Emery, the players and the fans, we're all matched, if I'm honest, that it was toxic in the stands. People didn't understand Emery's substitutions, didn't understand his tactics, didn't understand the team. Arteta has brought all that together. All the toxicity is gone. You know, everyone's behind Arteta. Yes, we're not winning, but hey, we're not losing. So hopefully the streak can start now. But as I said, before Dave got on the podcast, the proof's in the pudding. Great seeing all the pictures in Dubai, but you know, and that's wonderful. I love seeing all that. But come Sunday, I want to see heart and fight on that pitch. And I don't care if it's teeming down with rain, you go for it. We need to win this game. If we win this, it could start off as winning. Yeah? And that's all I want to say.
If we win this game, it could start us off winning.
How many times have I said it?
It's like a commentator on BT Sport. Hey, listen.
Amanda, was you thinking of that saying, you can't polish a turd, but you can sprinkle glitter on it?
No.
Or you can't make a silk purse out of a pig's ear.
Yeah, silk purse out of a pig's ear. That's what I mean, yeah?
I agree with you. I agree that Arteta is bringing them together and he's doing absolute maximum what he can with that squad. I think it's almost like, not propaganda, but the stuff they put out, it's been, we've seen them having these cheery training sessions with Emery when he first came and everybody, you know, having little fun fun times and smiling to the cameras and all that. And I think we can't read into that too much. But he will be demanding more of the players, and that's the main thing. And he will be telling them exactly what he wants from them. And hopefully, if they're not coming up with the goods, he will
be out.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. But it does worry me, and I'm going to go back to it again, that he's given Guendouzi more, you know, a new contract, because for me, maybe he hasn't given him that new contract. Maybe that's something, like you said, the club are in fear of losing players and don't want to lose coveted players.
Yep.
And so they have to keep bumping them up. And, you know, the agents are going in probably saying, listen, he's only got 2.5 years left. You know, he could be, if you don't give him sight by the end of this year, he'll see it out and he'll go somewhere for more money. So there's the fear of that. So I don't know if it's Arteta handing that stuff out, because I believe he's a bit old school. You know, he was just on the end of sort of the era of the old school players who were brought up probably as a teenager. He had it hard when he was growing up in football. He weren't like one of these snowflake kids, sorry to use the word. And, you know, the teams he played in and the players he played around were great players. And to be a great player, you've got to work really hard. But to stay a great player, you've got to work even harder.
Yes, he fell under Ronaldo. He worked his way to being in the GOAT discussion. He wasn't born with it, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's what worries me about players like Aubameyang, because I reckon if you took Oba and you stuck him in Liverpool's team this week, I reckon he would run his nuts off. He would make runs left, right and centre, because the whole team would demand that from him because of their philosophy that's now ingrained in every player. But in our side, you don't have to do that because it's not there.
And Anu, I'm definitely of the school of thought that I don't buy into some of these players, especially Ozil's little PR machine. And if you look at where we're at, we are actually worse off than when Emery was manager. And I'm not saying Emery should be manager, because long term, he probably wasn't the right guy. I do feel like he was treated unfairly by some of the players, and communication is an issue for a lot of people who's, you know, if English isn't their first language. I feel like these players sold out on Wenger towards the end, some of them. I feel like they sold out on Emery. I absolutely do not buy into their little happy family situation right now, because I'm not sure we're strong enough, should the shit hit the fan, for us to come together as a group or team, which is why I'm excited about Arteta's future as Arsenal manager, not present. In a nutshell, what are your thoughts on the Emery situation and what David kind of brought up in that? Are they really, you know, that happy? Have we seen these pictures before?
We have. I was saying that to a friend just recently, saying, you know, at the start of Emery's, like when he took over, also, I think up until very like mid last year as well, we were still seeing, you know, funny training videos and pictures. The thing with, I genuinely wanted Emery to work out. So when he came in, I was like, you know, we need to support him. It's not easy coming in after a manager who's been there for 22 years and had such a big impact. And I definitely did think he struggled with communication and the language, and definitely having, you know, not having the best PR team, because, you know, unfortunately, that is how a lot of image building is done in the modern world. But I also think that he wasn't the right fit and he didn't help himself. So I don't condone the players like stopping working for him. Because, like, you know, we've talked about today, you play for the club, you play for that shirt, you don't play for a manager, not necessarily. And while it's understandable that he wasn't communicating well, because there are many times, you know, even us fans, we were like, we don't understand, you know, his tactics or what he wants the team to do. I don't think the team knew. But I don't think that's reason enough to stop playing for a manager and just kind of... you know, I think that did happen with a lot of them. And mm-hmm. So I can understand his point of view when he says, you know, there were certain players who didn't give enough, or, you know, there were things. But he was also definitely not the right fit, and he did not. And he's not helping himself with, you know, his continued comments. Like, again, I don't know if that interview, you know, when it was conducted, and, you know, are people sharing it now, or, you know, you never know with these things. But I just think that, you know, it's best that we kind of just move on. And we definitely need to.
Very nicely wrapped up there, Bayanu. Completely agree with you. We do need to move on. I do have a little sympathy for him because, you know, he inherited a broken club, broken team, broken everything. So it was a little bit like the Man United scenario. The first person going in was never going to be the one who was going to be the long-term successor. Right then, with that said, we do finally have a game, people, and it is this weekend. It's on Sunday. I'm sure Amanda will be there with bells on. Newcastle United, I gave you guys, you know, the stats on when we last beat them and all that jazz. Amanda, do you want to go first or do you want to go last? You get to pick.
I tell you what's your prediction for Newcastle?
Me?
Yep, you.
I think we're going to win 3-1.
I keep saying these high scores and it doesn't happen. So you're going, you know, for 3-1.
No, I'm
going
to go 2-1. I'll go 2-1. Yeah. 2-1. 2-1 to us.
Realistic. Yeah. Anu?
2-1 was going to be my call as well.
Okay, so both of you going for 2-1. Come on, Dave. What's yours?
You're not going to like it.
Go on.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be 2-1.
To Newcastle.
Or the other way.
Oh, no. Yeah. I reckon that they're in that position. They're just below us with a goal difference. And I reckon they'll push us, they'll find a weakness. And even if we go in front, I reckon they'll come back. And, you know, and I've always been, I am forever the optimist. My glass is half empty now, but it was nearly full a little while ago. But my glass is normally, you know, way over half full all the time when it comes to Arsenal. And it was kind of under Emery at times, you know, because I thought, oh, you know, he's gonna bring something. But do you know, with this side, I just can't see it happening. I think it's gonna take a couple of losses and players to get a right kick up the arse, because all these draws are just, you know, they're just saying, oh, we're safe. They're just saying we're safe. I think players need to hit rock bottom, and before Arteta can really fire it up in the dressing room, because I think he will, and I think that's the difference between him and Emery. I don't think Emery knew how to have a go at these players and sort of, you know, sort of defibrillate them into life, if you know what I mean.
Dave, they didn't respect him, which isn't a great thing. But for me,
Amanda, that the whole thing is your manager, right?
Absolutely.
Manager. You don't go into work tomorrow and your manager says, "Oh, can you just go and do that filing over there?" And you go, "But I don't do filing. You know, I'm not a filer.
Yeah. And
I'm the fucking manager. I need that filed. You're in the office. Can you do that?" You know, and that's
completely.
If George Graham had told me to pick a dog shit up off the fucking pitch before we started training, I'd go and scoop it up. That's the way it is, because I don't want to tread in it. I wouldn't want anyone else to tread in it. And the be-all and end-all is the manager told me to do something. So the players should have backed Emery. The players should have, you know, he's their manager. But it's this generation now. They can question everything.
Yeah.
And Arsenal have got too many people that question it.
Yeah, but, you know, as well, I get that. But, Dave, if you're working for someone you don't like, you're not going to respect them and you're not going to be motivated.
Well, then move.
But you still got to do the job then.
I know, but the thing is, hold on, both of you. It's player power as well, and the fans didn't really take to Emery so much. Over a period of time, it got less and less. But anyway, I get what you're saying.
They liked him when we were on the 22 unbeaten run, and what happened after that?
You don't know that, okay?
Well, they were playing and winning and drawing, and it was all fine.
He was making substitutes at half time and before half time,
and little Ozil, toxic Ozil.
His decisions were poor. I ain't disagreeing with that. They never really got behind him. But I just believe, getting back to the Newcastle game, I just believe that Newcastle will have more about them, and I think it will take us a couple of proper defeats to really realise that what the players and as players what they need to do to change this. And hopefully that will give Arteta the ammunition to go in the dressing room and say, "Nah, you know, look at that video. You know, look at this."
Amanda, right. David said that we have to hit rock bottom. Have we not hit rock bottom already? We're 6 points off relegation. And if we, right, Amanda, if we do lose, according to David, and let's say West Ham and Watford pick up wins, do you know that we're only 4 points off relegation then?
Yeah, that's why I said to you about I'm not interested in top four of the fact we need to get start climbing up the table. But I need to give you my prediction, because if I don't do it, I'll completely forget. I'm not with any of you. I think we're going to draw again. I think it's going to be 2-2, if I'm honest. I'm gutted to even think that, because I'd love to think we're going to win. I'm upset with David's prediction. I couldn't hope losing next weekend. Would it be 2-0
back from 2-1 down?
We could be, Dave. You know, be at 2-1 with you.
I'd take that as well. I think we've probably got it about us to bring someone on and come back from 2-1 down and salvage a draw.
Yeah. But unfortunately, this is how we've come to, that we're talking about Newcastle comes to the Emirates and we're going to salvage a draw.
Yeah,
it's quite
and
sad, really, isn't it?
We shouldn't be as gassed really in the second half now, should we? I mean, that should have picked up a little bit. We've been so gassed in the second half. So hopefully this break and this Dubai thing has helped. Now, unfortunately, we could talk about football all night long, as Lionel Richie once sang, but we have to end this roadshow, unfortunately. But you know, it's been a fun chat, and you know, I hope David's wrong, and David, before
I hope I'm wrong. I really, because I love Arsenal and I want them to win and I want them to get that run going. Honestly, I'll support the team with all of my heart every game, and I will be willing the players to put it out there. Honestly, I want them to win, but I just feel it's just not enough in the tank at the moment.
Are you doing any commentary on the game this weekend with one of my favourite fellas, Russ Hargreaves? Are you doing any of that? Tell everyone where they can find your stuff and what you've been doing a lot of commentary lately as well, and that's something you've been enjoying. So tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, I do the Arsenal Nation, so you can tune into arsenal.com and listen to the commentary with me and Dan Roebuck. When I do it with Russ, it goes out on IPB, so that's on the international channels. So I don't know where you can find that. It's just that whoever they can sell it to. At Dave Hillier with 2 R's on Twitter. I'll be putting my stuff out on there. And Dave Hillier 4084 on Instagram, but I don't really do much on there.
And Danu, let everyone know where they can find you. And it's been fun having you on the show too. And as we were saying at the beginning of the show, we love having women on the show too, especially, you know, young writers like yourself. And Amanda and I love to support that. So let everyone know where they can find you, and we'll share your Santi Cazorla piece again.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed talking to you guys. You can find me on Twitter at Anu Nande. Also, I write and edit for Football Paradise. If you've seen us around, we do long form kind of storytelling pieces on football, like all kinds of football. So you can find us on Twitter at football _P or just footballparadise.com. And I usually post most of my stuff on Twitter. So if you follow me there, you kind of you can keep yourself updated on what I'm doing. But at the moment, I have just started a newsletter. It's called The Storyteller, and the first issue should be out by end of this month. So it's unfortunately not football, because my other side is I do a lot of publishing work and fiction writing. So it's just going to be conversations with fellow storytellers and writers and creators, and sort of like this in-depth, you know, just chat that kind of takes away from all the small talk. So if you want to follow that, again, the link will be on my Twitter. So I do hope you give that a try.
Very nice. Excellent. And someone who really doesn't like small talk is my girl, Amanda. Everyone knows where they can find you, though, don't they, Amanda?
Shut up, you.
Oh, well, listen, it's been a long time. Thank you, David. Thank you, Anu, very much for spending your time with us. KC would have loved to have been on today, but apparently, David, he's busy doing something, you know. I'm not sure. Not sure.
He's always busy. He's up at 5 every morning. He's a busy boy.
He's a machine, to be honest
with
you.
Oh, no. He's up at 4:30 in the morning. Let me tell you that one. He's definitely watching his son play football tonight. And as I've said, it's more important than talking to us.
I feel like he's on my time zone sometimes, Amanda, because I'm like 8 hours behind you. But yeah, Casey seems to wake up before I do, go to bed before after I do. It's hilarious.
Bless him. We miss him.
We do. We miss him.
He'll be back.
He will.
He'll be back.
He will. So thanks again, you guys. And Amanda, there's only one thing left to say. And if there was ever a time for this to be true, let it be this weekend against the Magpies. It's a bit of an unlucky bird, but you're a lucky one for me.
Always Arsenal.